And welcome back to 216 Baseball, Cleveland Baseball Podcast. His name's Alex, and my name's Paul. And if your favorite baseball team performed exactly how you thought they would, but somehow you're still disappointed, then you're in the right spot. Let's get into it. Hey Alex, what's going on, man? How you doing today, brother?
I'm pretty good. I'm exhausted. I'm just be 100 with you. I am toast today, but I'm excited to do this. So how are you, dude?
I'm good. We talked about like before that we've both been sleeping like shit lately for some reason.
I'm like on two nights in a row.
Yeah,
but it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, man.
Every day, I'll sleep fine tonight. It's just some weird thing last night. I like was almost completely asleep, and then I woke up, which is the worst because then you never sleep how you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And then I was like really hot, and I just like, oh, and then it just, I don't know. I could complain all day. It is what it is. Today's still actually been a good day. I'm just like beat. I'm going to go to bed at like 8 o'clock. I just feel like that's going to happen. Just like, it's pouring here in Indy, so if any thunder is in the background, everybody will know.
Yeah.
Not like in the cartoons where they like slap the what is it, like the foil
the
or whatever,
aluminum.
And it sounds like, yeah, the aluminum. Yeah, it won't be like that. It's just, no, it's actually storming. So.
Yeah, but this hurricane should be coming up here soon.
Yeah, I hate us. That for you.
That's whatever. It is what it is.
I'm sure if it comes up north eventually, I don't know how it'll blow, you know, not the storm, but just kind of how it all seems to, we're not weather men, but like how it always blows up or kind of seems to hit, you know, the whole whatever side of the U.S. Obviously, it's normally like the Midwest and eastern part. We're talking about weather shit, and I just don't care. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I started boring myself as I started talking about it. I'm like, I don't care about this. But I will say, I want to call it out before we get into a really good hot topic. I'll speak for you or whatever, or we can complain about it. I know that we are really sorry about the timing of shit lately. We are doing stuff on time, but nobody cares anymore. But we continue to have some technical difficulties that are beyond us.
Yeah.
And we are looking at potentially switching providers to be able to record. It's gotten that bad. I mean, it's just something new every time. So if you're still here, thanks for rocking with us. We do care. It's not like we're just getting lazy and don't care anymore. We're doing it. It's just that we don't know what else to do. It's very frustrating, and I'm sure it's frustrating for everybody else. And it's like, oh yeah, no difficulties. But like, I promise we're trying, and it is very frustrating.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there. I feel better. I don't know if you want to say anything else, and I'm not trying to whine. It's just frustrating.
I know one of the biggest things for a podcast that's still like in its infancy is consistency, and we're trying to stay consistent. But we're getting on top of consistency, we want to put out a quality product. And if we can't get something to make a quality product out of, I don't want to put out something I'm not going to put my name on something I don't like. Right.
Yeah.
So if there's something, that goes wrong during the recordings, I can usually edit my way around it, and I can usually figure out a way to get through it. But the stuff that's been popping up lately, there's no way for me to get around it. And I'm not just going to throw something out just for the sake of getting an episode out on time. I'd rather put out a quality episode for you guys and then figure out a way forward and how for it not to happen again. Hopefully we can get through this one without any issues.
Yeah, and that's where I know I get worked up about it just because it's dumb. Like, oh, because you care, but it is. It's like, we put a lot into this and we want to do it and like have it come out. A lot goes into it. So anyway, that's that. We got a lot to get to. We're going to do another 2-for-1, not how we drew it up, but that's where we're at again. So we'll try to keep it moving, but we got a lot of good info.
Yeah.
And we will be completely redoing the Rangers one. We've done it once before, so it should be pretty good the second time.
Yeah.
Made it all the way through. Not that you guys will ever hear that.
Yep.
So, anyway, you have a hot topic that I think is super timely. Like, this is all over the timeline today. If you know anything about baseball or have any kind of baseball on the TL, this is hot.
So, let's do it. So, Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor and the whole Mets organization right now. So, when the Mets were doing bad, their fans were ruthless and just booing the ever-living shit out of them, right? So now that the Mets are ramping back up a little bit and they're playing a little bit better now, they're still not great, but they've been dealing with a lot of injuries this year. So now when they do something,
underperforming,
whenever they do something, their celebration is to essentially boo the crowd back by doing a thumbs down.
Like how people might hit a double and they'll point to their dugout or, you know, they like clap, right? Or they'll flex, you know, they do something fun. They're like immediately just going like thumbs down.
And like home run celebrations, thumbs down.
I'm wondering if we're going to have a different opinion on this. Like as you're telling me this, so, like this is a really good hot topic. Yeah. I'm like sitting here like getting, I actually have an opinion.
So here's the thing. I'm 50-50 on it.
Ooh, okay.
Part of me is like, yeah, I mean, if your fans aren't with you when you're down bad, then fuck them. They're like, they should. If you're not there for the lows, don't be there for the highs, right? That's sports fandom in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
But another part of me is like, these people are paying good money to come see you guys, and not every single one of the people in the stands booed.
Yeah.
And on top of that, right, my thought process is, there's 8 and 9 year old kids there, like with their families, right? And being at a Major League Baseball game when you're a kid is awesome. You're taking in this whole event, and like there's these little, like when you're at a game, there's these little things that you pick up on that make you just fall in love with the game, and those things hit even harder when you're a child.
Yeah, of course.
So, and then if you're seeing your favorite baseball player, which Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor are two household names, right? And I guarantee a lot of Mets fans, Francisco Lindor, Javier Baez is, well, now Javier Baez, are probably one of their favorite players on that team.
True.
So if one of your favorite players is now essentially giving you a thumbs down, I feel like that's going to hit home a little different. So, like, I see both sides of it. As being a former athlete and a fan, right? Like, I see both sides of it. But I don't know where I want to stand on it. That's the thing. Like, I see both sides, and I'm so torn.
Yeah.
I think it's fucking hilarious. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I'm just smiling because, like, maybe I'm just delusional. There's moments where, like, we're best friends for a reason.
Yeah.
And I want to give you credit, though. You nailed that. You helped me realize some feelings that I didn't even know I maybe had about it. So very well articulated, and like, I'm being serious. That was really good. You didn't leave a whole lot for me. So I'll give you my knee jerk, right? So I agree with everything you said. My knee jerk reading this was, everybody needs to like chill a little bit. Like, and then I was like, am I wrong for not thinking what they're doing is that bad? That was my gut.
Yeah.
Like when I figured out what happened, my gut was like, that's not that big of a deal. Like you kind of need to chill. I'll take that a step further. I have never booed any professional team in the stadium once in my entire life. I've been to a lot of baseball games. I've been to probably 100 games, and that might be a little generous. I've probably been to 75 plus games in my life. Easy, easy. I've never booed once, ever, ever.
I definitely have.
And that's fine. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying I've never done it.
I think the only team I've booed is the Tigers, if I'm being fair.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. The other team. I'm saying I've never booed the
Indians. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've never booed anybody. Fuck Cody Allen sometimes, right? I never booed him.
No, I see what you're saying.
I've never booed, as much as it would hurt, like ass rubble Cabrera, right? Three double plays in the wild card game in 2013. I was at that fucking game against the Rays with my dad and my brother. All right? Big hype. We're all downtown. We got Tim downtown. That's how hype we were. All right? Yeah. We got Timmy downtown. All right. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
We went and saw that game. We're all hyped. Like, ah. He hit into three double plays in that fucking game. Fuck is Drubal Cabrera. Backwards, sideways, and on a Tuesday. Okay? Like, fuck that guy. I never booed. You know? I've never yeah. done it. Like, I just think you don't boo your own team.
And exactly. New York's
different. And so, like, you're 100% right. You pay good money to see it in the kids, but, like, what does that teach you that you're booing people? I've never done it, so I'm on a moral high ground because I've never done it. Like, So I don't think it's right. You know what we do? We start a podcast and we talk shit. And that's fine, but, like, you go there and they're human beings and you're booing them, and I understand that's your way of expressing dissatisfaction, but don't pay then. Like, if you want to stick to ownership, or if a player has done something individually wrong, like domestic abuse, like that kind of stuff, you know, in off the field, or you just don't like them as, like, literally a human being, not a ball player, and that's a line that can get really blurred, but, you know, just piece of shit human beings, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, so you're gonna pay money to go see and, like, fund, and then you're gonna I don't get it. And so it's not like they're giving them the finger. I don't think it's a good look, but at the same time, I'd be like, I lean 70-30 towards, yeah, whatever. Like,
don't. Yeah, my thing is, like, they are definitely doing it the right way, right? There's definitely worse ways they could be doing this.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's a part of me goes back to when I was a kid, and if I were to look down and see, like, if I were to see, like, Grady Sizemore hit a double and then do, like, a thumbs down, I'd be like, what the?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, like, one of those things that, like.
But in Cleveland, you don't have a bunch of
degenerates.
Yeah, just a bunch of people. Well, there are.
It's
a shit city. Let's just not lie. But it's not like New York where, that, you know, it's just. And I love New York City a lot. I would like to live there. Taylor and I both would. We truly mean that. But you got to be built different to be from New York. Dog. Like, everybody, like, in their Tims, in their accents. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot to be from New York.
Yeah.
And that fan base is. That's just what they expect, and they have the money. I don't know. They're just assholes. So I don't really.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I think that, like, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where I'm like, do you? You're not hurting anyone, right? And it's the best way that you can show your dissatisfaction with your fan base as a player, right?
Like, you took time out of your day to take the subway, pay way too much for, like, tickets, to sit there in something that you love to boo human beings in person that are on your own team.
Yeah.
Like, when you really break that down, it's super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, but these people are also, like, it goes down to one of those things where, like, these players are held to, like, a higher standard, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're put up on this big pedestal. They have these platforms that they're able to speak on. And it's at certain times, you expect them to be bigger than that. Like, they're still people, but, like, they're still expected to be bigger than that. And I think that's where, like, a lot of this is coming from, because they're expected to be role models.
So that's an expectation that people. That's a whole another discussion,
I feel. Yeah.
That's something that we as the public expect people to do, but they don't sign up for. That's not part of the contract. Like, you're just really good at baseball. That's all you're saying you are.
Yeah.
You're good enough to be in the top 1% of the world. Less than that. Way, way smaller, right? Of, like, you could play major league ball, okay? At no point, unless you make it a point to be like a LeBron and really be that guy, and then you are putting yourself in a position to be there, right? But if not, and you're just a good ball player, at no point are you saying, I'm going to be a great role model. Should you? Yeah, you should. Just to be clear, you should be a good person and a good role model. A lot of people are watching you. However, I think that's something that people like to throw out, that's like, at no point did they sign on the dotted line for $100 million saying, I need to be a role model. They never said that. They're just really fucking good at baseball. And so that's where, as And then people want to tear down athletes for having opinions because they're just athletes, but then we want them to be more than athletes, so keep your mouth shut. That's a whole other bullshit. You don't want to hear me get on that rant because athletes are people and they're allowed to have feelings. And it's like we jerk athletes in every direction. Like we want them to be this and we put these expectations, but oh, just be in sports. Don't have opinions outside of sports. And it's just like, it's a tough thing, and that's a tough spot they're in, you know? It is. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, I'd cry myself to sleep with $100 million, but, like, it's – there's a line, you know, for both. So
– yeah.
That's a good topic.
I try – every now and then I have a good one.
I think it's a double thumbs-up topic.
Yeah.
be positive.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the – you got any more thoughts on it? Or
no, that's it.
That was good. That was good. I like your points, though. They were really good. All right, so game one, this is the Rangers series. This was – luckily, this series, even though we're doing a two-for-one, it's actually, like, concurrent. We're not, like
–
the last one we had to do, it was, like, partially a weekend and then a midweek. This is – we basically are just covering last week, the week of August 23rd. So that kind of slaps – or August 22nd, technically.
Yeah.
So this was, what, a Tuesday night game? Against the Rangers at home, so the 24th, and it was Eli Morgan versus Hearn. They come into Tuesday. They're on a three-game winning streak. They swept the Angels over the weekend, and they're back at home for a three-game set and trying to get back to a win streak of four, just keep it going. Unfortunately, the win streak stops at three because the pitching just struggles mightily in the series opener. Texas, 7 runs on 15 hits, no errors. Cleveland, 3 runs on 6 hits and no errors. Quick scoring highlights. Top of the first, Nate Lowe, 3-run home run. His 13th of the year. Rangers take an early 3-0 lead. Bottom of the third, though, Daniel Johnson hits a solo shot. That's his 4th of the year. Tribe gets on the board, but they're still down 3-1. Top of the fifth, DJ Peters, RBI ground out to extend the Rangers' lead 4-1. Bottom of the fifth, Yu Chang solo shot. Okay, that's his 4th of the year. And the Tribe now trails at 4-2. Bottom of the sixth, Franmil Reyes sack fly, little small ball to bring them within 1, but they still trail 4-3. And then top of the ninth, though, DJ Peters, 3-run home run, his 5th of the year. Rangers extend their lead 7-3 late. That's all she wrote. Tribe drops the series opener, Paul.
Wow. This was a rough one. It was a lot of just, like, we just got the offense, their offense just tanked us in this one. I'm trying to look something up real fast. So I don't remember if it was this game or the next game. Yeah, it was this game. Nate Lowe went 5-for-5 in this game against us.
Yeah.
Nate Lowe.
The Red Sox series.
I mean,
he's a good player. Nate Lowe is.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking how we always just like, we just let people sometimes just walk all over us.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it in the Red Sox series again, but I will say that the one plus side of this season is that this team fights till the 27th out. Like, at no point do they just roll over and give up.
Yeah.
And like that's what makes me excited to watch these games and excited for the future.
It is. I mean, I just get flustered. I'm like remembering it. And I'm just like, it just sucks when you have, this one isn't as bad. This one isn't as bad.
Yeah.
There's going to be some more though. And it's just like, this is baseball. You just hope you win.
Mm-hmm. But game highlights and the top of the third, Jose makes a golden glove play to get a double play to take a hit away from the Rangers and get out of the inning. Like going away from the bag, glove side. And just makes a hell of a play. And then the bottom of the sixth, Jose hits a little bloop job to like right center. And Ahmed goes first to third. But no one's on the bag. No one's on second base. And Jose sees it and just like real heads up base run. And is like, ooh, I'm going to have that.
He's an incredible base runner.
Yeah.
Like people are sometimes crazy fast, but you have to be a good base stealer to steal base. Like he's quick.
Yeah.
Quick, borderline fast, but he's just an incredible base runner. And that's why he gets these stolen bags. Like he's just great.
And then in the top of the seventh, fucking Miles Straw, man. This dude just makes defensive play after defensive play. Going towards his left, makes a diving catch at the warning track, like going away from him. Like, this dude's going to be a Golden Glove center fielder within the next 2 years. Like, there's no way.
I don't know that with a full season anybody can really contest him.
Yeah.
Like next year.
And then the Ernie Clement play. We've given him a lot of credit on this podcast so far. But in the top of the seventh, with a runner on first and second, he tries to get a bunt down.
Yeah, and this is late. This is the seventh inning, right?
Yep, and I think we're only down by one at this point, right?
We're only down by one at this point. Yep. The game is within...
But like you could win
ability or whatever. Yeah, it's there. You got somewhat of a chance.
Exactly. And then he goes to get this bunt down, but then he just pops it up. And instead of having runners on second and third with one out, now you have runners on first and second with one out. And then that plays into the next play where Miles Straw and Yu Chang get doubled up. This was just shit luck. Hit a line drive back to the pitcher. Pitcher caught it. Yu Chang kind of broke because he was running on contact and gets thrown out at second. Doesn't tag up. That's just a shit bang bang play. Stuff like that happens. But it's one of those things where if that bunt goes down, that play can't even fucking happen.
One run ties it there. I mean, that wouldn't have won the game, but you just never know, right?
Yeah, it's all momentum. Because, the box score doesn't...
Well, shit, we probably would have brought Clase in for the ninth. Then we would have been tied game, or maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing is the box score is decisive? No, that's not the word.
I know what you're saying, I'm just too tired.
Yeah.
It's a little deceitful.
Deceitful. The box score is deceitful.
I don't even know that.
And this one. We'll look it up. You guys know what we mean. So with them scoring three runs on a three-run home run in the top of the ninth in this one.
Deceiving. That's what we were looking for. Deceiving, yeah. Same root word, but I was like, oh, okay, continue.
Yeah. And we're not a grammar pod.
Oh, no, we 100% are. I am. 100%.
You are. I'm not.
Oh, 100%. I am top tier grammar.
It's deceiving because we were in this one till the top of the ninth with two outs, and then he hits a three-run home run. So you want to get that bunt down, get runners in scoring position, and maybe Miles Straw changes his approach to the plate and gets something, or... Maybe something happens, right? We don't know. It's just one of those things where you got to get the fundamentals down, man. Like
it just sucks.
These little things when you get further and further, like when you go further and further on in your career in baseball, you start losing like little things that you were taught and little things that you learned along the way, and the fundamentals start going because there's such muscle memory, right? You don't really think about it. But that's what separates good players from great players is every day they work on that craft and they work on those small things to get them down.
Yeah. And sometimes that's just the luck of the draw too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, I mean, with Ernie Clement, it's different, but, you know, Eli Morgan, not a good start, 4 1/3, a 4-run, 8-hit, 2-walk, 4-strikeout ball, and he takes an L. It's just not sharp at all.
Yep.
I mean, the 3-run home run in the first was kind of worst case scenario to get started off. I mean, that makes up, you know, 75% of the runs that he ends up giving up, but 2 walks isn't great. But I mean, the 8 hits are what's rough, and 4 1/3. I mean, you have almost a 2.5 whip there. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not it. He still grinded. He didn't completely implode, but it's just not good against the Rangers. You know, we talked about all their offensive stats. They're just not good. And it's kind of interesting. He threw 76 pitches, but 51 were for strikes. That's what you want. But you got to throw better strikes. Too good of strikes to the Rangers. So the bullpen has to give you 4 2/3 then, and they do that. But they give up 3 runs on 7 hits, no walks, and 2 strikeouts. So not great. Garza gives you an inning and 2/3 of a scoreless 1-hit, 1-strikeout ball. That gets you all the way to the 7th. So that alone bridges it to kind of a winnable game. You know, you get to the 7th with 4 runs against. That's not great, but we're in it. You know, we're still in. Wickren gives you an inning and 2/3 of scoreless 2-hit, 1-strikeout ball. That's great. You know, Shaw comes in for the final out of the 8th. But he comes out for the 9th. He gives up 3 hits. The last one is a 3-run shot, which is just not good. And I mean, that's baseball. That happens sometimes. But I think we can all agree, fuck Brian Shaw. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I have to get anybody to. Just not it. Parker gets the final out of the game. He gives up a hit of his own, but, you know, whatever. Talk to me about the offense.
Yeah, the offense wasn't great in this one either. I mean, we struck out 7 times and walked 3 times, which isn't bad. But we left 9 runners on base. But when you don't have that many hits, you don't expect to leave that many runners on base. Had 6 hits in this one. 2 of them were for extra bases. And then the big thing is we go 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Yu Chang is the only one with a 2-hit game. He had the solo shot and a single. Miles Straw, Framnel Reyes, Wilson Ramos, and Ernie Clement all go hitless in this one. And it was just not a good showing on offense from us. It wasn't what we were looking for, especially in a game when you're looking to build momentum and win 3 in a row.
Or your 4th in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, 4th in a row. Sorry.
It wasn't good at all. Like, no part of the triangle. I don't know how we ever, you know, 32 episodes later, I don't know how we ever, but, like, none of it was good. No, every part of it was subpar. But we get to play more, luckily. Game 2 was Wednesday night, Plesac versus Lats. And we talked about that for a guy with the last name Lats.
That's a fucking stick.
Yeah, like Tristan McKenzie energy, apparently. Yeah. I don't remember him at this point, but something bad. Prior to this game, Cleveland plays Tristan McKenzie, T-Mac, big dong T-Mac, on the 10-day IL with right shoulder
fatigue. Yeah, he's his back's tired from carrying the fucking team right now.
True. We recall Logan the Plumber Allen from AAA, which... I just be real. I hate it here. I'm not having fun anymore.
I mean, a little sneak preview. He didn't.
They're trying to play truth or dare, and I don't want to play in 7 minutes. Yeah, or whatever.
A little bit like going into the future. Logan Allen didn't fucking throw bad.
Bad dog. I would have lost my life savings on that, and I'm glad it didn't come out because we don't have to eat. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. But
so just not good. I mean, and they're going to be really careful with him. He probably doesn't throw the rest of the year. I don't think he should. He's had a history of injuries.
Yeah.
And like, just don't. What for what? For so, literally what?
I know. Like, I'm following some stuff today. Bieber definitely wants to come back before the season over. I don't think he should. I don't think Savali should, even though he's close to coming back.
I think Savali will.
I think he will, but I don't think he should.
Yeah.
T-Mac, I don't think he should. Like, keep these guys for next year, right? Like, they're...
Yeah.
What do you gain from them coming back this year other than just getting some big league reps?
From guys that are already big leaguers.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be clear. Yeah. I'm with you. It just sucks. Can't have anything nice. Indians come into Wednesday's game. We're trying to get back in the win column. We dropped the series opener to one of the worst teams in baseball. And they send Plesac to the mound to try to right the ship. And they do just that. We take game 2. Quick line. Cleveland, 7 runs, 10 hits, no errors. Texas, 2 runs on 10 hits and 1 error. So the tale of two cities there, man.
Yeah.
10 hits, but we got 5 more runs.
Right now, Texas has 25 hits through 2 games. Don't let that slip through.
God, you're right. Holy crap. So quick scoring highlights. Bottom of the second, Oscar Mercado hits a solo shot. That's his third of the year. Tribe strikes first with an early 1-0 lead. Bottom of the fifth, Yu Chang hits a solo shot. That's his fifth of the year, his second of the series. Then the Tribe extends their lead again, 2-0. Still the bottom of the fifth, Austin Hedges goes deep. Okay, that's his sixth of the year. And now the Tribe leads at 3-0. So all Indians so far. Top of the sixth, though, Jason Martin, 2-run shot. That's his fifth of the year. But the Rangers still trail it 3-2. Bottom of the sixth, Yu Chang hits an RBI double. He's like, I'm going to do the damn thing. Tribe extends their lead again, 4-2, gets that insurance run. And then still, bottom of the sixth, Owen Miller RBI single. So now the Tribe leads it 5-2, so get a little breathing room. Bottom of the seventh, Franmil solo shot bomb. That's his 23rd of the year. Now the Tribe's on top, 6-2. And then bottom of the eighth, Owen Miller, RBI fielder's choice. Extends the Tribe's lead 7-2, and that's how it stays.
Yeah,
we bounce back to take game two, man. It was pretty much all Indians the entire time, yep. Man.
And Yu Chang scored as many runs, well, what contributed to as many runs as the entire Rangers team in this one. No, he had more runs in this one. He had two runs, but he also had two RBIs. One of them was his. So he accounted, he's accounted for three runs. So he alone beat the Rangers in this one, essentially.
Yeah. And I love that for him, you know.
And we've been hard on Yu Chang on this podcast.
But just wait.
Oh my goodness.
No, you're good. Sorry. I'm just saying, like, I want to bring it up because we talked about him as the hot topic. Game, and I'm really sad no one's going to hear that because it was awesome.
Yeah.
When our platform provider decided to eat shit again. I'm not salty. But no, we're going to let the people know that this is borderline a Yu Chang pod.
Yeah.
Whatever you think his stats are, they're better than that.
I might be buying a Yu Chang jersey here soon.
Yeah. It's getting kind of close.
It's Yu Chang season, baby.
Yeah, another week and a half of this, and I'm probably fuck around and buy one.
I'll get a Yu Chang tattoo. Say I won't.
Here's the thing. I don't want you to do that, so I won't, because I know you'll go do it.
Game highlights in this one. There's not much. It was kind of all just a lot of scoring from us in this one. Nothing too crazy happened. Except in the bottom of the seventh, Franmil hit that solo shot and just gave a dirty bat flip, like a low-key dirty bat flip.
Which are the best ones.
But was staring directly into the pitcher's soul. And the camera zoomed in on his face, and even I got scared. Like
you're sitting there on the couch watching it. I'm like
500 miles away, and I'm like, I didn't throw it. Don't look at me.
Yeah,
I didn't.
You point yourself like me, like looking behind you on the couch, like me. Are you mad? I didn't throw the
pitch. I'm not even in Ohio right now. Okay, like give me some slack.
So Plesak, though, he gives you 5 2/3 of 2-run ball, which great, you know, give us some length, keep us in the game and then some, right? That's winnable. He still gives up 8 hits and 3 walks and striking out 4. So he gets the dub. He's still struggling, though, dude. I mean, in a vacuum, it's easy to say, like, if we took it just in a vacuum, okay, hey, not as sharp a start, way to go. And we're patting him on the back, but better teams aren't going to let you get away with a 2-whip. They're not going to let you do that. Like, you can't have a track meet out on the bases. Not to send, like, you can't. Like, that's, you're going to get, like, beaten. And this is every time, man. Like, he threw 97 pitches, but only 57 were for strikes. That's not great. Like, that's going to get you into some trouble. So, I don't know. I don't want to beat it up too much, and we'll talk about it more here in a little bit because we'll have a fundamental discussion when we get back to the, you know, who's hot, who's not kind of thing, spoiler. But, hey, he kept us in the game. Just, you know, for this exact game, you can't complain too much.
Yeah, he did what you want your starting pitcher to do and just gave you enough for your team to win.
Yeah. The bullpen is asked to give you 3 1/3 innings of two hit, or I'm sorry, 3 1/3 innings, and they give you that scoreless with 2 hits and no walks and 5 strikeouts. So the exact opposite, right, of kind of the game before. Karinchak gives you an inning and a third of scoreless, 1 hit, 2 strikeout ball. Love to see that for him. Parker gives you a scoreless 8th inning, gives up 1 hit and strikes out 2. And then Clase gives you a perfect 9th inning because what else does this dude do? Yeah. Right? He strikes out 1. But yeah, talk to me about the offense a little
bit. Yeah, so 6 strikeouts, the 3 walks, and we left 12 runners on base, which is eh. But we had 10 hits, and 5 of them were extra base hits. And
that's a winning formula.
Four of those extra base hits were solo shots. So, like, you right there, you already won the game just with home runs. So
air horns.
So
it's a home run party.
We went 2 for 6 with runners in scoring position. All 5 through 9 hitters. So 5 through 9 had 8 out of the 10 hits. And 4 of the 5 extra base hits.
Which, bottom half of the lineup, like, we're here.
We're here. Don't forget about us. Miles Straw goes like, 1 for 5.
You're going to win games where that happens. Like, 5 through 9 give you 80% of your hits. And 80%, literally, of your extra base hits. Like,
yep.
Straw that is something to see.
Goes 1 for 5. Ahmed goes 0 for 3 with a walk. And Jose goes 0 for 4. So, your main guys don't even give you production.
1 for 12?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bottom half had to pop off. Mm-hmm. Like, so overall, I mean, offense, it's a weird story, but I mean, it's still good. They score 7 runs, you know, 333 with runners in scoring position, 50% extra base hit clip, like starting pitching, everything. This is the exact kind of opposite where everything last game was man. This one's all like above average and good. So we win game 2. So game 3, the finale here is Henches versus Lyles. And unfortunately, before this one, Jenson Lewis tweets out, you know, hey, I was trying to think of making fun of him because I don't like Jenson Lewis. I don't know why. I just don't like him. I just think he's a douche, but that's neither here nor there. There's just something about him. He talks like he was an Indians legend. And it's like, bro, I've looked at your stats. I actually, on my personal Twitter account, went at him the other day because he was trying to talk shit about Lindor. And I'm like, bro, you had like 2 career WAR. Lindor's playing like ass and he has like 3 WAR through like 5 months of the season. Why don't you shut the fuck up? Like, you weren't that good. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, okay. You don't share my sentiment. So I'm just talking to myself. We placed it. I don't know why he lives rent free. It's just think he's a fucking chach. So,
my thing is like, I don't come at Major League Baseball players because they're way better baseball players than I am. So
it's true.
You know, I saw it was a former NBA player. This is kind of off track, but this is like my thought process, right? A former NBA player went and played in a rec league, mm-hmm. right? And people were calling him trash. He goes, yeah, I'm bad compared to NBA players, and you're bad compared to me. Like, I'm closer.
That's fair.
He's like, I'm closer to LeBron than you are closer to me. So, like, don't fucking come at me because I'll just dog you.
That's fair. But I didn't come at Jensen out of nowhere. I came at him because he's coming at Lindor.
Yeah.
Like, dude, stay in your fucking lane. Like, you get a little too – you look like the – poster child of light mayo, okay? Like, you relax. You had 2 seasons of baseball for the Indians. Like, nobody remembers you. Stop. Like, relax. Anyway, he tweeted out, we placed infielder Ernie Clement on the IL. I hate it here. And we recall JC the Plumber Mejia from AAA. This isn't as hurtful as Logan Allen because hopefully we'll use him out of the pen in long relief because Nick Sandlin's out for the rest of the season. And JC Mejia was a dog in long relief. He's just not a starter. He's not. But damn it.
Yeah. And this just means we're going to see more of Owen Miller. And
yeah, which is fine.
And,
but like,
and Yu Chang, which I am not upset about.
That makes my rocks warm.
Yep.
So Indians come in looking for the series win on Thursday night's rubber match. They send Big Daddy Henches. I don't know if he deserves that. Long, you know, Daddy Long Legs Henches to the bump for a quasi bullpen game. And it wasn't pretty, but the offense carries this one. And they take game three and they win the series. So that's all that really matters. Final line, Cleveland 10 runs. Okay. On 15 hits and two errors. Texas 6 runs on 9 hits and 1 error. So and it's going to be a shootout here.
34 hits through 3 games for Texas.
Damn, that's a lot of hits.
That's
what do we have? 25, 31?
Yeah, it sounds like that. One? So it's 15.
Yep, 31.
25, yeah, 31.
So quick scoring highlights, and we'll keep it moving here because there's a lot. This is a shootout. Bottom of the first, Miles Straw, leadoff solo shot, his fourth of the year. Tribe jumps out to an early 1-0 lead. Get you a leadoff hitter that can do both. Still the bottom of the first, Franmil, RBI double. Tribe extends their lead to 2-0. Bottom of the first, Bradley Zimmer, two-run moonshot, 465 feet. I don't want to take Paul's thunder. We'll talk about that in a second. That's his sixth of the year.
And good things happen when we go up 4-0.
True. That's kind of the magic number usually. We blow it open early. 4-0 lead in the bottom of the first, man. Top of the second, though, Jose Trevino, RBI double, gets the Rangers on the board, but they still trail it 4-1. Still the top of the second, though. They're not done. Nick Solak, RBI single. But again, Tribe still leads at 4-2.
And what a whack-ass name, Solak.
True, but he's pretty good. it is. Top of the third, runners on second and third. Nate Lowe reaches on a ball that's booted by Jose, and Paul's going to break that down. That allows two to score. Rangers tied up at 4 apiece, so again, we can't have a single nice thing. Bottom of the fourth, though, Andres Jimenez, RBI double. Tribe's back on top where they should be, 5-4. Still the bottom of the fourth, Ahmed Rosario sack fly, so a little small ball. Indians now on top, 6-4. Still the bottom of the fourth, Jose, RBI single. Let's get it going, man. Small ball extends the Tribe's lead to 7-4. Still the bottom of the fourth, Franmil Reyes, RBI single. Now we're up 8-4. Let's go. Just keep the line moving, man. Bottom of the fifth, Owen Miller solo shot. That's his third of the year. Now we lead it 9-4. Top of the sixth, Nick Solak solo shot. That's his 10th of the year. But the Rangers still trail at 9-5. Top of the eighth, DJ Peters, solo shot, his sixth of the year, but the Rangers still trail at 9-6. And then bottom of the eighth, though, Bradley Zimmer, RBI single, puts us on top 10-6. That's how it stays in an ugly finale. But, hey, we get the job done and we win the series and the bats carry it.
Yeah. And game highlights in this one, more of this wishy-washy play from Ahmed Rosario, because in this one he makes a fantastic play on a grounder that kind of goes to his left, so glove side, but it bounces off of the mound in a weird direction. So like he goes from day to day making a fantastic play where you're like, oh shit, yeah, this dude can play shortstop, to making dumb errors where you're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Just catch the ball.
Like his highs can be crazy high where you're like, what are you doing? Yeah. You have that in you. But his lows are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like somewhere in the middle, pal. We
yeah. Settle just for that. Be consistent. That's all I'm asking for. And then Bradley Zimmer's home run. You talked about it. 465 feet. This motherfucker went to Gronkville in right field.
Yep.
Like, upper deck just sent this motherfucker. And Austin Hedges is in the dugout, like, flexing when he's rounding third, like, celebrating with him. And just absolutely hit the shit out of this baseball. And when he hits the ball, he fucking hits the ball. We kind of talked.
It makes no sense. Yeah. Like, his hard hit is like Franmil. I'm talking like power hitter. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Like, it makes no sense where that comes from.
And then
I don't know how you did it, but I'm glad you did.
In the top of the second, Miles Straw makes another fantastic play, just a first-class defensive play, coming in to, like, shallow center, diving towards the ball, and kind of gives it, like, a little basket catch, which is a very difficult play.
Yeah, that's the one he dove towards it, right? Yeah. Like you said. Yeah, that's a
At this tough point, play. We need to make like a segment that's called like Getting Caught Up with Miles Straw or like
I love that.
Or Miles Miracles or like
yep.
something crazy because it's every fucking series with this guy.
Yep.
And it's like multiple times. Dude. It's we fucking finessed the Astros. We're going to say it every episode because we gave them like an unsalted bag of peanuts. And we got like a Golden Glove center fielder and a elite leadoff man.
Yep. Yep. And we literally gave them our crumpled up diet RC Cola. Like that's what we gave you.
Yeah.
Not even name brand. And they took it. And he's had Maton's had like a 5 ERA with the Astros since joining him. So I don't
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Oh man. And you kinda you talked about it too, top of the third. Jose kinda boots a ball a little bit here. And it's a very rare error that you see Jose make. He just doesn't field it cleanly. He kind of took his he took his eyes up a little bit too quick and lost the ball.
It was just like worst case scenario.
Yeah, because two runs score on this one, but
because of two outs, right? Runners yeah. on second and third, two outs. They're running on contact, which is the only way that two runs even score on this.
Yep.
And then it like caroms away from him at the worst. Like it was like a 1 in 100 chance that this yeah. outcome happens from this error. Like,
and then, but heads up defense by Jose after this, because he throws Nate Lau out at second because he tries to take advantage of the error and sneak in another bag. And Jose's like, nah, you're not going to make me look that bad. So they do get yeah. out of the inning, only limiting the damage to two.
I just looked it up. In his 12 and a third innings and 12 appearances with the Astros, he has a 5.84 ERA and a 1.62 whip.
Yeah, eat my butt.
Yeah, literally, eat it. It is like how matter of fact you said that. Yeah, eat my butt. Like now you're trying to be funny. Nah, really, you
dude,
it.
Fuck the Astros, man.
Yeah,
like I'm glad that you're struggling right now. They're not struggling right now at all. They're in a very good spot. But like, I'm glad you're feeling some sort of pain because like over here, I'm starting to think I'm kind of a masochist being an Indians fan.
Yeah, dude, the new name will change everything. So Hench's.
Well, I'm not done yet.
This is okay. Sorry, I couldn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was looking up stats and I was listening, and I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead.
And then remember. In the bottom of the fourth, Jose Ramirez finally beats this fucking whack ass shift that all these teams are putting on him, where they kind of play two right fielders and like no one on the left side. The third baseman plays like right behind the bag, and their shortstop moves over to play second base. There's like whack ass shift. He finally beats it, gets a line drive past their shallow right fielder. And just love to see it because fuck it. Fuck that shift.
Yep.
I mean, we play it against some guys and it's whack ass when we do it. But I'm not going to boo the Indians for doing it. I'm just going to say it's whack. So finally beats it. And I'm just so happy because he deserves every bit of happiness in the world.
Yeah. It is. He would be batting like 300 something if yeah. that shift wasn't like allowed to be a thing. But yeah, so Hench's, it's a tale of two like cities a little bit or two halves. So the line is 4 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 runs, only 2 of them earned, 3 strikeouts and a no decision. Listen, not a great showing after his last outing, but the 2-run error that Jose committed certainly doesn't help the
yeah.
line. Now, you know, it's only 2 earned runs. That's not his fault, literally, at all. He would have gotten out of that inning. So when you think about it, 4 innings, a 2-run ball, not terrible. I mean, 4-5 ERA, but we'll take it from Hench's, right? But the five hits and two walks isn't great. You know, it's not sharp, but he did give us the length. And the whole thing's, like I said, a quasi-bullpen game with him. So the bullpen, though, more traditionally, is asked to give you five innings. They do that of two run, four hit, no walk ball, and six strikeouts. So can't really complain about that either. So the two halves kind of add up to a pretty good hole.
Yeah.
You know, nine innings of four-run ball, not super, super sharp. But when it's kind of a bullpen game, like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Stefan comes in and gives you 2 2/3 innings of one-run ball on two hits and no walks and four strikeouts. Listen, he gave up a run there, but he's like, it just feels like he's on fire. It just feels like every time he's coming out, he's given us now 2+ to 3 innings the other day, and the dude strikes everybody out. Wait till we talk about, I was just looking through the Red Sox one. I didn't get to watch a lot of that series, but I was looking at the stats and just earmark this, like, for when we come back to him here in a couple games. Wickren comes in, gives you an inning and a third of one run ball on two hits. Not great, you know, in a vacuum, but you can't complain too much. And then Clase comes in for the ninth, non-save situation, gives you a perfect inning with two strikeouts. Again,
at this point, all we gotta say is, like, Clase came in for the ninth.
Yep.
And you guys should just be able to guess what his stats were, because
it's either one hit or perfect every time. And it's
either one hit and one strikeout, or like no hits and two strikeouts. Like,
yep.
So, 102 mile per hour cutter.
I know. He's a dog.
It's not fair. The offense in this one, 10 strikeouts to 4 walks, which isn't bad. And then 19 runners left on base, but we scored 10 runs. So, you're not going to hear me complain too much. 15 hits, 5 of them were extra base hits, which is fucking fantastic. 1/3 of your hits were extra base hits, so let's go.
I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, no complaints. We scored 10 runs.
Yeah, it's above average.
This is what's spicy, though. This is what's spicy.
We went 6 for 16 with runners in scoring position, which is a 375 average. Let's fucking go.
I know. That's how you score runs. And what's crazy is, like, this one could have gotten out of hand. Like, we left 19 on base, and we still left 10 opportunities, which you're not going to bat 750. You know what I mean? That's not how baseball works. But, like, this one could have been, like, a 15 to 18, like, run game, you know, with
and then, a couple extra every, big hits. Every starter in this one had a hit. Jose Framil, Zimmer, Owen Miller, and Daniel Johnson all had multi-hit games. Franmil went 3 for 4 with 2 singles, a double, and 2 RBIs. Jose went 2 for 3 with 2 singles, 3 runs, and an RBI. 2 walks and 3 stolen bases.
Can you say that again? Like, that, what a line. Say it again.
2 for 3 with 2 singles, 3 runs, an RBI, 2 walks, and 3 stolen bases. This dude stole 3 bags. Who's the Rangers catcher? Because I need to add this dude right now. Hold on.
It'll show you who he did it. Trevino.
Trevino? Yeah.
Yeah.
Get fucking sauced. Like, three bags? Start pitching out when this guy's on first. Like,
yep.
Fuck. And then Bradley Zimmer goes 2 for 5 with that fucking absolute piss missile that he hit. And had 3 RBIs and a stolen bag. So 4 stolen bags. How many bases? Yep. I want to see. Are those the only stolen bases we had? Let me look. Indians.
No, Hedges had one because he's so fast. We had 5 bags. All of them off of Trevino.
You mean Hedges? You said Hedges.
Sorry, Hedges had one. Yeah, he stole second base.
So 5.
3 of them. Four were off Lyles, the pitcher, and then the 5th one was off one of the relievers, Santana, but all off the same catcher.
Get fucked. Part of those steals are on the pitcher, yes, because like your time to plate matters. But Trevino, let's be honest, man, start throwing people out.
Yep,
like
it's not it. The whole team just popped off.
Yeah, man.
Like, offensively, this was it. And you know I'm a sucker not only for Jose, but stolen bags. And we were just talking about the other day. I think that episode actually came out. I'm not salty.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, we talked about that. I honestly had to think about it. So you know, how he's moved up. And I said, well, you know, he'll probably, I see him getting at least six more easy. You know, he'll go into sole possession of what, 11th in Indians history. Yeah. He got three more like in one game. So like, okay.
Yeah. This motherfucker might move up to fifth. Like,
yeah, we don't know what that, we got to wait for the graphic from like, you know, Bali Sports during the game, but, but yeah, to see what that leaderboard looks like, but yeah, 11th, very much in play. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get three more bags.
Yeah.
So Joe Noga, who looks like every substitute science teacher ever on Twitter, this it's the most basic background. It looks like picture day with the little blue, like the little blue background.
Look, get off my man's back. All right.
I've never heard of him, but anyway, he tweets out Jose Ramirez is 3 for 3 in stolen bases tonight. For this game, obviously, he raises his total to 19 for the season, and it's the second career three steal game for Ramirez and the first for the Indians since Rajay Davis swiped three bags against Milwaukee on June 6th, 2018.
Look at that. I miss Rajay Davis. He'll forever be a Cleveland legend.
I miss him so much. I just love him, you know?
Yeah. Good guy.
Good guy. Just, I miss that smile. All right, so now we're going to draw, I literally in the notes drew a solid line, like just a bunch of dashes to like, Rangers series over. We win 2 out of 3. We could have swept, but hey, we're not going to complain.
Yep.
And now the Red Sox are coming to town, right?
And God damn it, these motherfuckers can hit.
I know. It's just...
Offensively, I think offensively, they're like top five in MLB.
Obviously, we can't profile a team. We're already talking about the series. We shot an episode where that happened. Again, I'm not salty. Uh-huh. And basically, what you need to know is they're like top 3 to 5 in every offensive category.
And then
like just straight shooters.
And then I heard this stat yesterday while I was watching the game. They have the third worst defense in Major League Baseball.
That's interesting. That's funny. That's like the White Sox. The White Sox have like the worst defense in baseball.
Yeah.
Which, can I tell you something? Can I make like a really quick comment that I want to go on record?
Yeah.
I don't think the White Sox are true World Series contenders. They are on paper. There's just something about them. I think they're going to get exposed.
Their starting pitching isn't that great.
No, it is. Okay, so that's not true. So they have Lance Lynn, who could win the American League Cy Young. They have Giolito. They have pitching. So I would disagree with that strongly.
I was going to say their bullpen's what's going to carry them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have Keuchel, who's been cheeks this year, actually. But they have Giolito, they have Carlos Rodon, and they have Lynn. So I would strongly disagree.
Oh, yeah, true. I forgot about Rodon. Yeah, I knew they had Lance Lynn, but I was like, everyone else. I forgot about Rodon and Giolito. But they have... They have two shooters, closers. Yeah.
Something about them that's not it. Like, and one of its defense. World Series teams, I sound like a dad, right? Like, defense wins championships. They do. Like, you can't, I know I'm talking preaching to the choir, but like, you can't have like one of the worst defenses in the American League. I can't explain it. On paper, you look at their record, you look at everything. They have a sub 500 record against teams above 500. That'll tell you a lot about a team. Guess what? You don't play teams below 500 in October.
Which is like, and let's be honest, right? The AL Central's ass cheeks.
It is. It's getting better. It's getting better. But yeah, I mean, like the Twins weren't even a competitor this year.
Yep.
So
the Tigers are, the Tigers have been butts. Like they've been good lately, but like beginning of the season, butts. And then, Twins,
I mean, are holy crap.
Bad. And Kansas City's been butts this year, too. I mean, Salvador Perez is popping off. He took
38 home runs.
We second need to, like, place. Talk about that. Yeah. We'll talk about it later on in this series. Franmil has 24 home runs this year,
mm-hmm.
right? This man missed a month and a half.
God, you're right. Yeah.
Like, let that sink in.
Yeah, when you I told you, and you gave me credit, I was just screaming. I was all over, like, this dude is 40, 45 homer type dude. He's got to stay healthy. Which hasn't been an issue for him, but you know what I mean. It's just like, he's the real deal. Jose's got 31.
Yeah.
Jose's playing out of his freaking mind.
He's second place behind Rafael Devers in American League home runs by a third baseman.
Yep.
He tied it in this series, and then Rafael Devers hit another one that game to like go up by one.
Yeah, spoiler. Yep. But no, well, I'm with you. Here's the thing. I would take Jose all day because he plays better defense and he steals back.
Yeah.
Devers doesn't. Like, you take Jose all day.
100%.
But, I mean, Devers is still a monster. I'm looking at... Go ahead, sorry.
All I'm saying is that Rafael Devers is leading the AL in home runs, but like...
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
I would much rather have Jose.
The White Sox are 22-21 in the second half of the season. I ain't gonna do it.
Damn.
They are 13-20 in one run games.
Damn. See, if we would have played how we were at the beginning of the season now, maybe we make a push. We wouldn't win in the postseason either, but.
Yeah. True. Anyway, so Logan Allen versus Rodriguez. Indians come in trying to make a formal winning streak on Friday against the Red Sox because we took the last two. You win three, that's a winning streak. T-Max on the IL with shoulder fatigue. So Logan Allen gets the opportunity to make a spot start after he was sent to the minors for the majority of this year because he just sucked so bad early on that it cost him that fifth rotation spot. Listen, everybody, stop. You're at work. You're typing spreadsheets. You're in the car. Turn it up, all right? Pay attention. God himself was surprised about what happened. God himself was like, bruh, what? He pitches an absolute gem. And I will hold myself accountable, but also glad kind of the last episode that we shot didn't come out because we spent a solid 10 minutes saying I did that you should put your life savings on the over for the Red Sox to win this game. And you would have won that bet, but not for the reasons that we went on a good 5-minute rant using some pretty colorful language about how bad we were going to get piped up in this game. You take the Red Sox versus Logan Allen, and usually that makes a pretty bad
combination. Logan Allen plus the Red Sox 9 times out of 10 equals getting dicked.
Yep.
Simple math.
And Logan Allen, we talked about they were salivating like an animal with fucking rabies, dog, like, let me into Progressive Field. I'm going to eat him up. That's not what happened. So, quick line, though. Boston, 4 runs on 3 hits and 1 error. So, not the line you thought you were going to probably hear. Cleveland, 3 runs on 8 hits and no errors. So, you're thinking, Logan Allen pitched, and there were 3 hits. Something doesn't feel right here. All right? So, quick scoring highlights. Bottom of the 4th, Jose hits a 2-run bomb. That's his 30th of the year. The Tribe strikes first. We take a 2-0 lead, okay? Top of the 5th, Christian Vasquez grounds into a double play. That brings home a run. Little baseball rule pod. Can't get an RBI from a double play. So that's why I said it brings home a run. We've said that before, but just making sure everybody knows. The Red Sox still trail it 2-1. Bottom of the 7th, Yu Chang hits a solo shot. That's his 6th of the year. And in his 3rd game in a row, did I type that out?
No, I typed that out, put it in there because it's a fact.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It is? Damn. That's why it caught me off guard. I'm like, I didn't type that, did I? Okay,
3rd game in a row. Fucking Yu Chang has hit a goddamn home run.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm mad I didn't put that together. No, he didn't play in Sunday. Well, his 3rd game that he played in a row. Okay,
I mean, I'm not going to count a game that didn't play
in. I'm sorry. I was like, how did I not pick up on that? Okay, because he didn't play in whatever game, Thursday's game. Okay, but what a guy. I love this guy. So the Tribe's now on top 3-1. Top of the 8th. I can't even pronounce this name, and this is where I'm going to get mad. Jonathan Arauz, A-R-A-U-Z.
Arauz.
Arauz, is that how you pronounce it? Hits a 3-run home run. That's his first of the year. His first of the year.
Arauz? I think it's Arauz.
Arauz, that feels right. All right. He hits a 3-run shot. His first of the year. And the Red Sox take a 4-3 lead late. And that's how it stays as James Karinchak gets exposed once again. And we drop it when Just wait till I tell you about Logan Allen's performance in a minute. But give us the game highlights. Yeah. This one hurt.
Yeah, this one, not a lot of crazy happened besides almost beating the Red Sox. And I talked about it at the top of the episode where, like, yes, it sucks that we lost a game that we should have won. But, like, the team competes and they don't give up. And, like, that's what makes me excited, not only for, like, next year, but to, like, every day turn the TV on and watch these guys play. Because they just don't give up. And that's what makes baseball exciting, is because until the 27th out's recorded, anyone can win the game. There's no running out the clock. There's no keeping the ball away. A pitcher has to pitch a ball to a batter, and anything can happen.
Anything is possible.
But the only game highlight in this one really is top of the second, Jose makes a fantastic play going away, going from like towards the back, so away from the glove side, and makes a fantastic backhand catch on a line drive that ends the inning and saves a run, because there's a runner on second and running on contact. He was 100% scoring on that. So fucking huge defensive play by Jose in this one.
Yeah, it was a screamer, wasn't it? That he just, it was one of those ones where it's almost like, it wasn't self-defense, but that kind of reaction where they just like, you smother it. It's just like, you're not... It happens so fast where you are not thinking about it as it happens.
It's one of those Merry Christmas catches where you're like, oh,
yeah,
fuck.
You're just like, whoa. Yeah, exactly. I love them. So this is what we're going to talk about, all right? And I just need a minute, okay? Logan Allen.
Man bun and all.
Logan Allen. L.A., all right? Allen, L. Against one of the best offenses in all of baseball. Dropped a 6-inning, 1-hit, 1 walk, 1 run, 5-strikeout nugget on the Red Sox. I only typed one thing, and it's not to be funny. It's because this is how I feel. What the actual fuck happened?
So,
the holy hell happened?
All three of these games.
I didn't get to watch hardly any, so I bummed, but like,
I say Logan Allen, you're not going to get this reference. He went Ultra Instinct in this one.
Yeah.
Like, the dude went fucking nutty.
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple times he got into a jam at one point with the 1 hit and 1 walk. And because they happened in the same inning.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of it. And he, you know how Cal Quantrill gets when he like gets out of a big inning and he just gets super hyped? He does that, but it's different when it comes from Logan Allen. You see that little blonde. He's got like a little Bobby Bradley blonde going on. Mm-hmm. And then
I love it.
And then little man bun coming out the back of the hat.
Yep.
And
which, not a fan, but
dude, not a fan.
You drop
like,
that off. I don't care how you wear
bro,
your hair.
Bro, he's just dropping it off right now. And
yeah,
we need to figure out who the Columbus Clippers pitching coach is.
Yep.
Because this dude needs a fucking raise.
Yeah, he does.
Whatever he's getting paid, double it.
Double it. Yeah, double it.
He took, did he take Tristan McKenzie, and Tristan McKenzie comes back up and throws a damn near perfect game, and then
7 innings of one run ball.
Up comes fucking Logan. Sam Hinches came up. Or no, he's been up here. No, he went down, didn't he? And we called him back up.
Yeah, he went down for a while.
Yeah, and he called back up, and he's been shoving.
He's been serviceable. Yeah. But, like, he's keeping us in there.
And then
he's been getting a little rhythm.
Logan, and granted, this is only one game, right? But
we need a lefty. It's cool to have a lefty guy.
Logan Allen comes in and just drops it off. Whatever this guy's getting paid, fucking double it.
Right now.
Like,
today.
He needs it. He deserves it.
I watched the full, the condensed game where you actually still see every play. And he had some swag going. Like when he started feeling himself, he
was feeling himself. He's got that
big sweeping lefty.
Yeah.
Like he was just stunning him. It was just this big, like sinking stuff.
And that's what the Indians need. Our entire rotation is right-handers.
Yeah. And Logan Allen earlier this season was the one that snapped like the longest streak in baseball for time between start, like a left-handed starter.
Yeah.
We don't have any.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I love it. So here's where we're going to have a very honest conversation, right? So the bullpen is asked to give you 3 innings, okay? Alex Young comes in and gives you a perfect 7th with a strikeout, all right? Good, love to see it. James Karinchak is broken. You let him come in for the 8th. He gives up 2 hits and a walk, but that last hit is a 3-run bomb to the number 9 hitter for the Red Sox. That's his first home run of the year, their number 9 hitter. And you give up a 3-run shot to lose the game. Like, he's broken. And we're going to talk about, well, let's talk about it now. To our surprise, I didn't think it would go this far. But the next day, you know, it's Saturday. I think it was around noon. I texted you. And they optioned Karinchak to Triple
A. Yeah.
He has an 8.40 ERA since the All-Star break. And a 6.42 ERA over the last 3 months. And we texted about it on Saturday, and I don't want to be a prick, like all jokes aside. I backed off a little bit because there's no wrong answer. You know, we've talked adamantly about this, and you know, and you're not wrong about the stuff you were saying about him. But like, you don't go from a 13 to 15 strikeouts per 9, which is like top 3 in baseball. Sticky stuff helped you and it's a big adjustment, but you don't go from that to like 7 strikeouts per 9. He's broken. Like, you're a major league pitcher. Figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to be top 3, but you can't be a dumpster like he's been.
I think that
that's so much more.
There's guys that relied on this stuff, and I think that he's one of them. But I will say, right? Give him time down in AAA. Let him work his shit out. Let him figure it out.
Yeah,
because he has the stuff. He just needs to.
Oh, he does.
He just needs to figure out how to do it without this shit that the MLB let people use for so long, right? Like,
yep. I completely agree with that. I'm not.
And that's all I've been saying this entire time. Like, I haven't been saying that. Like, the dude's still a dog. Like, I'm like, I get why his numbers are tanking. Like, it makes sense to me. And
yeah.
All I'm saying is, like, this people are so quick in baseball to someone has a bad month and they're like, fucking get rid of him. Get him off the fucking team. I don't want to see him anymore. Right. Yeah. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves, because baseball is a game of peaks and valleys. Every major league baseball player goes through slumps. Right? Mm-hmm. Show me a major league baseball player that hasn't gone through a slump.
Mike Trout, up until this year, he finally went through one.
Yeah.
But I'm joking. He's gone through them too.
Yeah.
Like, even every
fucking baseball player goes through slumps. Right?
They do.
So my biggest thing is, like, let these people fucking work through it. Right?
Yep.
Obviously, James Karinchak, and sometimes you have to go work through it in AAA. That's just it's a way of the like game.
McKenzie.
Yeah.
Yeah, T-Mac.
And if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do, right?
Yeah.
But at no point am I like, this guy's so bad, I don't even want to fucking see him on our team anymore.
Oh, no, not at all. It's just frustrating because it's like, what do you do with him? And in my mind, AAA was never it. But as soon as they did it, it makes sense. Like, he has options. Like,
and here's the thing.
I've been saying since, like, the Blue Jays, where do you put him? Like, that's like a month ago.
And I would put my entire savings account on this right now. In 2 weeks, when the roster expands back up,
he's back up here.
Yeah.
He'll be back in a week. I don't even know that it'll take that long. Give him.
No, I think he's gonna come up when the rosters expand to 28.
Yeah, doesn't that happen September 1st? That's 2 days from now.
Is it 2 days from now? I thought.
Yeah, I know, isn't that crazy?
I thought it was in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, September 1st.
Damn, holy shit.
I think. Yeah, I know. But give it a week, 10 days.
Yeah.
Like this never crossed my mind, but this is kind of like the reset. Is that's what I was saying. Like, he's broken. Like, where do you use him? You couldn't use him with five runs. You can't use, you know what I mean? Like, where do you use this guy that's supposed to be high leverage? And it never crossed my mind to send him down. But, like, as soon as it happened, it shocked me, and it still does. But it's like, yeah, he just needs to hard reset.
Like, yeah. And, like, it also makes sense level. Because we optioned him down and we brought Bobby Bradley back up. If Bobby Bradley is ready, cool. Get Bobby Bradley up here right now. And this gives James Karinchak more time to go down there and play. Like, he's going to get more innings down there than he's going to get up here. And he's going to go
and just, like, relax and figure your stuff out, because you can throw some
like we fucking talked about. The Clippers fucking pitching coach is goated. So call that motherfucker up to the big league.
Yeah, exactly. Get him out on the mound. See what happens. I love it. So talk to me about the offense, though.
Yeah.
We walked all the way through that, and that's needed to be discussed. It's a huge move. Like, it still shocks me. I'm not mad. It's just like, that's not the tweet I thought I was going to see from Zach Meisel on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was still
was not expecting to, and I even told you this, like, he's been playing bad, but I didn't think that they would call, like, I didn't think they would option him down. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
But then it makes sense. And it just was never on my radar either to do that. Like, I've been saying, what do you do with them? It never even crossed my mind to do that.
But the offense goes 6 strikeouts to 2 walks, which is pretty fucking good. And we left 8 runners on base, which isn't bad. 2 of our 8 hits were extra base hits, but we went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position in this one. Jose popped off with 2 singles and a 2-run shot, and then you fucking Chang Pan.
Yep.
3 games in a row with a home run.
Yep. But the offense just is not the
same. I'm not over you, Chang. Just let me think for a second.
That's fine. Like, I get it. Yeah.
Fucking Yu Chang.
I know.
Out of King everyone. Shit,
I know. King shit. Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Yeah.
You know?
My boy Lil Wayne, baby. I think my Baker Mayfield hat's over here too, because he quoted that out in a press conference. He quotes that out.
That is my favorite thing. And I know I'm just like the cringy white guy, but I don't care. I just try, like, once every 2 weeks, I just find a social situation to say that, just drop it into a conversation, because it's just wonderful. All right. So that one's all pain. Like, that is as painful as it gets.
Yeah.
Like, this in, since the second half, where I feel like a lot of these painful games have happened, this is by far, to me, it's not even close. This is the most painful loss. Like, this, Logan Allen, Mr. Allen, Mr. Allen gives you 6 innings of 1-run ball against the Red Sox, and you give up a 3-run shot to the 9-hole hitter,
who's batting like 198 this year.
Yep, that's his first home run of the year. So anyway, game 2, Quantrill versus Eovaldi.
But like I was saying, right, like, I'm not done with this. Any giving player can hit a home run. Any given player can pop off at any given time. Peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole, like, giving it up.
It just shows you how low the like, the valley is right now.
Well,
like,
and who knows? Maybe this is fucking a ruse? Is that what we settled on? Mm-hmm. A ruse. Yeah. Maybe this is his peak.
Where you're taking this. Yeah.
Like, listen, the dude's a great second baseman. Defensive. Like, a very good defensive second baseman. And I think that he's kind of been slumping this year. I don't know much about him, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of this guy. Their second baseman is supposed to be, I can't think of his name, but that's not supposed to be their second baseman.
I think he's the one who, I think he played second base this series. That sounds right to me.
I trust you.
Now let me double check it, because now double guessing
the
myself.
The Indians come into this game. We talked about James Karinchak gets optioned and Bobby Bradley gets activated from the IL. Come into Saturday's game, we feel like crap.
Yeah, second base.
They had the Red Sox on the ropes in the series opener, but the bullpen blows yet another winnable game. They still got 2 to play, and they send Big Daddy, Big Dick Quantrill to the mound, who does his job and then some. But once again, the bullpen implodes to drop game two in extras. Quick line, Boston 5 runs on 12 hits and no errors. Cleveland 3 runs, on 9 hits and 1 error. And the scoring highlights, top of the first, Babe Ruth hits a solo shot. That's his 27th of the year. And the Red Sox take an early 1-0 lead. Still the top of the first.
What the fuck was that about?
Because you don't remember in the World Series, Joe fucking Buck the whole time talking about Kyle Schwarber, and he actually kind of compared him to Babe Ruth. You don't remember that?
Yeah, but I didn't think that you would. I didn't think you would put that joke in there.
Dude, I'm the pettiest person you know.
And like, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm a big Kyle Schwarber guy.
Oh, I know. We should go get him in the offseason.
Like,
that should be a thing, actually.
This dude, Kyle Schwarber, can literally play anywhere. In a baseball field.
Yeah, again, I don't know how proficiently, but he's a baseball player. He can play there. Don't look at me like that when you talk to me about defense. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You play Kyle Schwarber. If you're going to do that and replace a Bradley Zimmer, this is the kind of guy that can do that. This is my
Kyle Schwarber plays. Kyle Schwarber is going to play left field, and Bradley Zimmer is going to play right.
I know, but I'm just saying this is the exact example where you got to make a sacrifice on defense. But he hit his 27th home run against us, and he also like set MLB history. He hit like 14 home runs in like 20 days, so that happened. But yeah. Anyway, regardless. Red Sox take an early 1-0 lead. Still the top of the first. Xander Bogaerts, one of the more underrated players in all of baseball, actually. He's a dog. Hits an RBI double. Red Sox extend their lead to 2-0. Bottom of the second, though, Framil Reyes solo shot bomb. His 24th of the year. Tribe now trails it 2-1. Still the bottom of the second. Bobby Bradley hits an RBI single to tie it up at 2 apiece. We missed you. You are so hot. I love you. Yes. This is the stuff we need. So all the scoring, right? 2-2. And I just said it was the bottom of the second. You're going to hear this right. Top of the 10th, we go 8 innings, right? That just shows you the pitching, right? Top of the 10th, JD Martinez, one of the scariest hitters in baseball, hits a 3-run home run to give the Red Sox a 5-2 lead. Bottom of the 10th, Oscar Mercado hits an RBI single, but it's not enough. We still trail 5-3. And I want to say that we had bases loaded with one out or no outs.
With one out.
Yep. And just wait till we get to the left on base, folks. I'm going to have an aneurysm. So we can't get a timely hit to save our lives. And we dropped game two because we're not a good team. Yep. And like, I'm just going to get really pissed. So tell me about some of the game highlights.
So in the top of the first on the Xander Bogaerts RBI where JD Martinez scored, right? Bobby Bradley makes a fantastic defensive play, just a smart defensive play on this. So balls hit the left field. Daniel Johnson has a rough time picking it up at the wall. And he actually ends up getting charged an error for this, which is kind of whack.
Okay, I thought he did. Okay, I thought he got charged with an error.
Which is kind of, which watching the play, fucking, it's a dumb error. Like, that's, it shouldn't be an error.
Okay.
Right. He goes to pick up the ball and literally he goes to pick it up, halfway misses it, and then like a half second later just grabs it. Like the ball kind of slips and then he immediately grabs it.
Did it allow anybody to score?
JD Martinez was scoring either way.
Oh, but they just like screwed him on the scoring? Like they him. That's annoying.
It's a whack ass error call. And there's another fucking plane going ahead. But
that's right. I think someone just screamed. I thought you said something at first, so we'll just have this nice little clip of weirdness.
Yeah. But this play Bobby Bradley makes. So Xander Bogaerts tries to go. It's ruled as a double, but he tries to go to third on the throw because he doesn't think Bobby Bradley's going to cut it off. Bobby Bradley cuts it off, throws the ball to Jose at third, and Xander Bogaerts gets thrown out.
Get out
of the inning. Very, smart defensive play by Bobby Bradley. And this dude, watching him play first base more and more.
Yeah, he's really worked out.
This dude can fucking play defense.
Yep.
There's another play in this one that I'll get to here in a little bit. But in the top of the third, our boy Austin Hedges goes to throw a ball back to Cal Quantrill. It hits Duran right in the dome piece on the return throw.
And it happens so smoothly, like you almost don't see it.
Yep.
Like how quickly he throws, and it just bounces. Like it's so smooth.
Yep.
You have to kind of look like, wait, did that just hit him in the head?
Yep. And Duran's kind of just brushes off like, ah, fuck. Like, yeah, I guess it happens. But this is literally something that never happens. Like,
yep, he literally domed him on the return throw back to the pitcher.
It was all over MLB's Instagram and Twitter and everything. It's one of those plays that like you never see, but it's fucking hilarious. Oh,
they fried his ass. But when you do that, you gotta
get fried.
What do you expect?
Yeah. And then in the bottom of the seventh, Miles Straw pulls an Ernie Clement, pops a bunt up. At this point, we just got to have a fucking full practice where we do nothing but bunt. Because
honestly, yeah, as the manager, like, guess what? We're bunting.
Yeah.
Like no joke. I'm not even being funny. Like, this, I just want to, I assume you're being serious, but honestly, yeah.
Like all right, well, I'm halfway joking, like, but like, yeah.
Yeah, do it. You guys are
and Miles Straw,
get out of here.
You're the leadoff hitter, right? You're the speed guy, right? Learn how to fucking bunt, because 9 times out of 10, you can probably get a bunt single. Like, if you place it right,
true. Yeah, I'm with you.
And this is the play I was talking about from Bobby Bradley. Top of the 10th, little bloop job right behind the bag at first base, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sexiest play I've ever seen a first baseman make. Running back over the shoulder, slides. One arm's like up and kind of like in like a weird pose, and he just like basket catches it. Oh, have you seen the play?
I haven't, but I'll watch it after
this. Well, look it up right now because I need your reaction to it.
Okay, I'll look.
This is what the people on YouTube. This is what you get when you look at YouTube.
At 216 Baseball Pod. Yeah. Assuming that this whole episode doesn't break.
It's in the top of the 10th. It's the last out of the top of the 10th. It's
split stretch. No, that can't be it.
It's one of the plays that I look at and I'm like, oh, fuck.
I don't think it was.
I'm going to fucking bust.
let's see if this is it. I don't think it is. No, it's not. They don't have it available. Sorry.
You can go to the condensed game, just scroll to the end.
Go to the what?
Go to the condensed game, just scroll to the end.
Yeah, but that shit, it's... I'll try my best.
Just do it. This is what the people want.
Usually it fucks up.
Anyway, I'll start talking about the bullpen until you see it. Or Cal Quantrill.
The bullpen, we didn't even get to the...
So... Cal Quantrill goes 7 innings.
We didn't even get to Cal Quantrill.
I'm talking about him right now.
Okay.
Cal Quantrill goes 7 innings in this one. Gives up 6 hits.
I'm on the wrong game. That usually helps. God. I hate it.
You're a shit show.
I am. Hang on a second. You know I love talking about this. This has to be, if it was that good of a Bobby Bradley smooth play. Okay, yeah, there it is. Sorry, folks. Everybody listening in the car right now, like,
yeah,
didn't really miss you. Didn't really care if you guys came back. Well, deal with it.
We're here. We're not going anywhere.
True. All right, you just talk about that because this
isn't working. So, Cal Quantrill, 7 innings pitch, 6 hits, 2 runs. One of them are earned. 2 walks and 6 strikeouts, and then the no decision in this one. Obviously, the unearned run was the play by Daniel Johnson, which was a bullshit error. But he actually shoves in this one against a very potent offense. And he just keeps proving that he's a guy up here in the league, and he can be a dude.
That slaps. That play.
It's a sexy-ass play, wasn't it?
It's not, like, that great of a catch, but it's just a sexy-ass play. Yep. Like, it's so smooth.
Yep. It's just sexy.
It is. He just – there's just, like, a finesse to it. Like,
yeah, like, his right hand goes up a little bit, and he's like, ooh. There's a little bit extra flair.
So hot. So hot.
Yeah, but like
that's all you keep.
Yeah,
going.
Like I Let's said, reverse the roles. Kyle Quantrill goes out and just proves over and over again that he's a fucking dog and that he can play up here and that he's going to be a force.
I love him. I've been on that Quantrill train
and then,
day one.
So the bullpen's forced to give you three innings, and they give you three innings of six-hit ball, three runs, two of them are earned, of no walks, which is great, and two strikeouts. Shaw comes in and gives you a scoreless eighth, which is a fucking miracle. He gives up two hits and strikes out one. Clase gives you a scoreless ninth because what else is new? He walks off working out of the leadoff double because he's just fucking built different.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to play with my dinner.
Yeah. Nick Wittgren comes in and comes out for the 10th and just gives up a three-run bomb to J.D. Martinez. JD's a fucking animal. So,
yeah,
like,
one of the most premier power.
If you give him the chance, he's going to eat it. But Wittgren only gets one out. Alex Young finishes off the 10th by getting two. He gets both outs, but only gives up one hit. So,
limits
the damage to three. And obviously, the offense can't power through.
Nope, because we struck out 13 times and walked five. That's not very good. Everybody, again, pull over. Just, you know, focus in for a second, you know, as you're at work or whatever you're doing. We left 31 runners on base. You know what I've typed here? You deserve to lose, you piece of shit. That's literally what I typed. 31. 3-1. One more than 30. 10 times 3 and then take one more. 15 times 2 and add one more. 6 times 5 and add one more. We left 31 runners on base. We left more runners on base than there are outs in a game. So mad. We had 9 hits. 4 of them were extra bases. That's usually a good formula, right? Like, that's almost a win, it seems like. That's like a low-key, like, dirty stat. Like, that seems to be it. We went 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. 154 average, all right? Part of it is that your 1-through-3 hitters, Straw, Ahmed, and Jose, go 1-for-14. Straw's the only one that gets a hit. He gets a single. That's not a good formula, all right? Franmil, Bobby, and Mercado each had a 2-hit game. And Franmil has a day with a double and a solo shot. But, like, you left 31 runners on base. And you went 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. You deserve to lose. Like, that's worse than two errors. That's, like, way worse. Yep. Like, you deserve to lose. And we did.
31 runners on base.
God. And, like, Wittgren dog takes his 7th loss of the year. And I just feel like we put him in impossible situations. It just feels like fate. And that's not me being rude to him because he's having a bad year. But, like, every time. Every time it just feels like,
let's be honest, like, right, like 10th inning, obviously there's a runner on second already, and
that's why only two of them are earned, but like you give up a 3-run bomb to,
well,
and that's more respectable than the 9-hole hitter.
Yeah, first you give up a 3-run bomb, like, to JD Martinez, so like it's not
just like it feels like fate.
Yeah,
it's just like when he goes out there, you just know. And I'm not trying to be a dick, but I'm gonna focus on good stuff. In Indians history, well, since 1971, so what is that, 50 years? In the last 50 years on the Indians, okay, in the month of August, okay, Dick Tidrow, which, what a name.
Love
it. In 1972.
Love that name.
Had a 1.32 ERA in August, okay? So kind of a specific stat, but, you know, that is the lowest ever in the last 50 years for the Indians. Cal Quantrill, number 2, with a 1.42 ERA in the month of August. Talk about coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and then he's on this list with people like Shane Bieber, Cliff Lee, Carlos Carrasco, like dogs.
And Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shooters. I mean, not like Dick Tidrow. You know,
I mean, Dick Tidrow.
I've never heard his
name. There's no one like Dick Tidrow, let's be honest.
Dick was just always built a little bit different.
Dude, he just dropped it off.
There was just something about Dick, you know? Something about that guy. Mm. But... That just shows
my mouth's watering just thinking about him.
Cal Quantrill is honestly could be in line for the AL pitcher of the month. Like, he honestly could be. I mean, just damn. Anyway, let's get to some kind of good news. Game three is Morgan versus Hauk. Indians come in. We're trying to avoid.
What a whack ass name, Hauk.
I know.
True. Get the fuck out of here.
After we spoil absolute starting pitching gems on back to back games, we just spoil them. All right. They send Eli Morgan to the bump, try and get it done. They do, but in the most roundabout and convoluted way possible. Okay. So final line is Cleveland, 7 runs on 8 hits and no errors. Good line. Boston, 5 runs on 9 hits and no errors. Quick scoring highlights. Top of the first, Rafael Devers, solo shot, his 31st of the year. Red Sox jump out to an early 1-0 lead. Not good. Top of the second, Bobby Dalbec hits a solo shot.
Bobby Dalbec.
I know, I love that. From one of our favorite baseball pods. They always make fun of Bobby Dalbec. Bobby Dalbec. Bobby. I love it. I wish I could do a better Boston accent, but it's just the most Boston name ever. He hits his 17th of the year. Red Sox extend their lead to 2-0. Top of the fourth, Jaron Duran draws a bases-loaded walk. Now the Red Sox are on top 3-0. Top of the fifth, J.D. Martinez, RBI double. Now the Red Sox are on top 4-0. I hate it here. All right. Bottom of the sixth, finally, Jose, solo shot, his 31st of the year. We finally get on the board, but we trail it 4-1.
And this is when he ties Devers for, like, the AL leader for home runs for a third baseman. I was like, oh, dope, cool. Jose finally leading something.
Yep.
And then,
still the bottom of the sixth. Yeah. Wilson Ramos, 2-run single. Clutch. Tribes now on top 4-3. Anything is possible, okay? Top of the seventh, Rafael Devers, solo shot. His 32nd of the year and second of the game. And cut to Rafael Devers with a cigar and a chair.
Like,
and so I took that personally. So, Red Sox now lead it 5-3. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry. Bottom of the seventh, Jose, RBI double. Now the Tribe trails it 5-4. Bottom of the eighth, Austin Hedges, first at bat coming in after, or coming in for Ramos. We'll talk about that in a second. Hits his 7th solo shot of the year, and the Tribe ties it up late at 5-5. Still the bottom of the eighth. Yu Chang, RBI double
and
to give the Tribe this, a 6-5 lead.
This play we'll talk about here in a second. This play was fucking wild.
Yep.
And we'll talk about it in the game highlights. I just want to preface that.
Yep. Still the bottom of the eighth, okay? Miles Straw, RBI single, gives the Indians an insurance run. We lead it 7-5, but that's how it stays. We avoid the series sweep with some late-inning magic. And, yeah, there's a lot to kind of get into this.
And for the episode that didn't get released because we got fucked, honestly, all I said was don't get swept, right? Like,
yeah.
And we didn't get swept. Yeah, we could have swept them.
So frustrating.
We were real close to sweeping them. But let's be honest, right? We had no business even competing with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we lost this series, but there's a lot of bright spots in here mixed in with the dark spots, right?
Yeah.
So
it's just bad teams don't win these coin flips.
Yeah, but
I mean, we won this one, but in general.
But bad teams also don't fight to a 27th out. They usually just roll right over.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, good teams wouldn't, you know, win 2 out of 3 or sweep.
Yeah.
It's just somewhere in between. We're just not there yet.
Yep.
But it's just like, ah.
So, in the top of the seventh, Wilson Ramos on a little tapper in front of the plate goes to make a throw to second, and immediately after he makes the throw, drops to the ground with a very obvious knee injury. And these are the injuries that the Josh Naylor injury is obviously terrifying, right? These are the injuries that scare me even more because they just happen out of nowhere.
And like, you're not doing
when
anything
something like this happens, it's an ACL, It's an ACL. It's some tendon in his left knee. I'm going to put me on record now. It's some tendon in his left knee, in his planting knee. I don't think anything's been released yet. I don't know.
So can I jump in really fast? Mm-hmm. I'm giving you credit.
Yeah.
An hour before we started recording, Wilson Ramos season over, torn ACL.
Yep.
And a sprained MCL.
Yep.
Which, on its own, fuck.
Yeah.
God.
So
good on you. You knew.
It's
also like
this is something that happens in any sport when there's no contact. When it's something like that, it's always an ACL and MCL. It's always one of those ligaments in the knee.
Yeah.
And those are the worst injuries to try to come back from. And don't be surprised if we don't see him again.
Yeah, I know.
This might be his last time putting on a baseball uniform, period.
Yeah.
Which sucks because Wilson Ramos is a fucking guy. And he's been a guy in the league for a while.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those veteran guys. So Austin Hedges is going to be getting a lot more playing time. And hopefully Robo can come back. Or looks like LeVon Way is getting called up.
Yeah.
But...
Well, LeVon Way, I think we let go. I think
he's still signed with the
Oh yeah, we DFA'd him,
and then no one picked him up.
Claimed outright waivers. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And he accepted the assignment. Yeah. You're right.
I don't think LeVon Way is going to be the guy that comes up. There's.
Oh yeah, no, he will. Yeah. He will. For some reason, I just started thinking about like, oh crap.
And then, on the go ahead run in the top of the eighth that Yu Chang hit that double on, it was a very hard hit ground ball. Up the third baseline, and Oscar Mercado, their shortstop runs into him while he's rounding second.
Yep, and he shoves him like
yeah.
I was kind
of. And then he goes to round third because on a play like that, you're going to send the guy because if you don't, then you're not going to get the bag, right? The only way that they're going to grant Oscar Mercado home is if he tries for it, right?
Yep.
And then when he's rounding third, the pitcher's just standing right in the middle of the fucking bag looking clueless. And he almost runs into the pitcher on third, too. Mercado gets thrown out by like 10 feet, but is ruled safe because of the interference at second base. This was one of those plays where at this point, I forget what I was doing, but I was listening to it. I immediately stopped what I was doing and turned the game on to try to catch a replay because it was one of those things where it's just like a lot of stuff happened in this play for it to work. But it was a very weird situation where just this is where being one of the third worst defenses come into play because you make a dumb error like this.
Yep.
And it costs you the game.
Yep. That was a good explanation.
Yeah. But
all that's something you'll see a whole lot.
All the scratching and clawing that we did in games 1 and 2 finally pays off. And it's watching team fight makes for exciting baseball. That's all I'm going to say. Close games are exciting and fun to watch. And it just makes for good baseball, man.
Yep. So Eli Morgan, 3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Gets a no decision. Not his sharpest outing, but he got beat on 2 solo shots, which you can't get too mad about. But, I mean, it's still 3 innings and 2 runs. It's not good. I'm not sure really what happened.
Yeah, I have no clue.
I watched the full condensed game because I was like, am I missing something about what happened here? He didn't come out as injured. He only pitched 45 pitches. I mean, 26 were strikes. So, I mean, not great. But I'm very surprised that this kind of happened. And so I didn't know. I was honestly in live. Obviously, I'm asking you. But I watched the whole condensed game. Nobody said anything. It's just like, maybe literally, they didn't like what they saw, and I don't
he
know
wasn't, what happened. Like here. He gave up the 2 solo shots, right? He wasn't pitching poorly. I don't know why they took him out. It surprised me.
Yeah, there's no news. He's not hurt. I mean, he wasn't pitching incredible, but like, why'd you pull him at 46 pitches? So I don't know if I don't know. Nothing's come out. And I'm glad that you're as confused as I am, because when I looked at just the stat sheet, I had to like reverse engineer, like, I got to be missing something. Nope. So the bullpen's asked to give you 6 innings, and they do that, giving up 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 10 strikeouts. So kind of an interesting line there. 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. Garza pitches the 4th.
10 strikeouts? Holy shit.
I know. Well, I'll tell you where some of them come from. I told you to mentally bookmark Stefan, right? Garza pitches the 4th. He gives up 2 hits, 2 walks, and a run, and he strikes out 3. You'd like to get more out of him, because, you know, we've seen him do 2 innings before, but clearly not on, right? 2 hits, 2 walks in an inning. He's not sharp. Stefan comes in and pitches the 5th and 6th. He gives up 3 hits, a walk, and a run. So not super sharp, but it is what it is. And he strikes out 5.
Yeah, so there's 8 of those strikeouts right there.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Trevor Stefan, 2 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts. What the hell? Not as sharp as 3 hits and a walk, you know, in 2 innings. Yeah. Not sharp, but
now I say he walked the run in, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. You're right. He walked the run in. So Parker pitches the 7th. He gives up 2 hits and a run, and he strikes out 1. Shaw gives you a perfect inning, and it finally stops the bleeding. I mean, that's literally 4 innings of relief from 3 different guys and 3 runs. They all gave up 1. So he stops the bleeding, which is an amazing sentence. You know, things you never think. Sentences that just feel weird. He wins. He ends up getting his sixth win of the year, which is also just hilarious. Clase pitches a perfect 9th because Emmanuel Clase, and he gets his 19th save of the year, and he strikes out 1. His ERA is down to 1.44.
Jesus really Christ. Good.
I'm rolling. You care if I hit this
offense? Go for it.
I'm just feeling it. All right. Thanks, King. So we had 7 strikeouts and 4 walks, which is pretty good. I'll take that all day, you know? 17 left on base, not good at all. That's not it. We only had 8 hits. 4 were for extra base hits. That's a winning formula, you know, 50%. Team went 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position, excuse me. That's hot dog shit.
Yeah.
We didn't have a single, just so everybody knows, this game was nuts, right? We didn't have a single hit until the 6th inning. A single hit. We were losing, what, 4-0, 5-0?
Yep, 4-0, I think.
4-0. 4-0. And we didn't have a hit. In the 6th inning, Jose goes deep, and he has a day, 2-for-3, solo shot and RBI double, excuse me. Ramos has that clutch 2-out, 2-run single to get us back in the game. That gets us within 1 then. And then Chang has a pinch hit RBI double to give the Tribe the lead late, just a cue shot down the third base line. I don't know what universe we're in, but I love it. And it was just a really strange game. Like, no hit to the 6th inning, and then we end up coming back and winning by scoring 7 runs.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
In 2 innings, we scored 7 okay. runs.
In 3, yeah.
Oh, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, yeah.
Yeah, but like...
I did math, and I subtracted 6 from 8, and I was like, yeah, that's 2.
which is like, what the hell, man? Like, ugh. Anyway, we got a lot to hit and kind of clean up here. And I will say, it made a big difference. I want to preface this. Who's hot and who's not? There are a lot of moves here that weren't going to happen. More on the who's hot.
Yeah.
A lot of cleanup because we're looking at 7 days versus where they were at from the last one. So,
yep. So kind of Cal Quantrill anyway, is obviously staying on. He's raised to a 9.5 because... In the Red Sox game, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts for the dub. And the last 7 starts, 44 innings, 7 earned runs, 30 hits, 13 walks, and 45 strikeouts. And he has a 1.43 ERA and a 0.98 whip.
Across his last 7 starts. Yep. In 44 innings.
Holy shit.
That's a long time.
That's over a 9 whip right now.
And that's What'd you say?
Isn't that over a 9 whip right now?
It's a 0.98 whip.
A 0.98 whip. Okay.
Yeah, so he's just barely sub 1, which is great.
Like, whip is awesome. One of those things where I'm like, it's like a newer, like the newer stats get me.
Yeah. I don't think it's that new, but I get it. I love it. I think it's one of the best ones. But just to kind of let you know how dominant someone is. So, what a guy. And that, again, I had to update this because his previous stats were almost identical. Like, so his trailing, God knows how long, I can pull it up in real time, actually. His trailing 15 games pitched, he has a 2.82 ERA in 83 innings with a 1.14 whip. And again, a 2.82 ERA. In his last 30 games, he's pitched 108 innings with a 2.90 ERA and a 1.18 whip. 91 strikeouts. Damn.
How many games has he started in this year? How many starts does he have?
17. Yep. Okay, so the last 30 games had 17 starts, but it also had some relief appearances in there. So, Yeah, when you just look at fit. So, this is the best thing. So, since becoming a starter, he's had 17. So, we'll count 15 of those, right? So, his last 15 starts, he's given us 83 innings of 1.14 whip ball, 4-0 with a 2.82 ERA. What the fuck? That's real good.
Yeah.
God, he's good. He's a 9.5. We raised him from the 9.25 to 9.
Yep.
Damn. Anyway.
And then Jose's staying on the list because, holy shit, he's raised up to 9.5. In the Rangers series, he goes 3-for-10 with 3 runs, an RBI, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and 3 stolen bases in one game. And then
3 walks. Not that that's a big of a deal. 3 walks, 2. Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
You said 2
walks. Okay. My bad. And then in the Red Sox series, he goes 5-for-11 with 3 runs, 4 RBIs, 2 home runs, 2 walks, and a strikeout. In the last 7 days, right? Last 7 games, sorry, which is the same thing because I don't think we've had a day off. We're batting.
We did last Monday,
which was 7 days ago.
We had
Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the last 7 games, he's batting .320 with a .433 OBP, a .600 slugging, and a .133 OPS. What the fuck?
Jose is locked in at like MVP Jose right now. Like, he is dangerous. He is firing on every cylinder that exists. Can I talk about Klaus?
Yeah.
Because you're taking a drink and you know I love pitching. His last 15 outings, he's pitched 15 and a third innings. He hasn't given up a run. A .46 whip. Less than half a runner per inning when he's pitching on average. He's in 15 and a third innings, he's only given up 6 hits and walked 1 while not giving up a single run. Again, he's our ninth inning guy. 18 strikeouts. He hasn't given up an earned run since July 16th. That is a long time. That is 45 days to the day.
Holy shit.
Sir?
What the fuck?
Sir? What? So, as clutch and as locked down as it gets right now.
Jesus Christ.
So he's going on. I don't even know. It's tough with relievers like this, but we'll continue.
You got him for a bag of chips, too.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about how we finessed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess 9.5. Like, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but, like, you can't be better than that.
Yeah. Is this our first 10? 45 days?
I think if he goes 2 months, he's a 10. I'll give it that challenge, just because you don't pitch every day. I think if he goes 2 months, if he keeps this up a little longer, I think his next move is a 9.75, and then he's a 10. I know.
It's so hard. You can't really beat. So his last 15 outings, he hasn't given up a run, right?
Yeah.
How many outings has he had since July 16th? If you can look that up.
I'll look that up. You keep talking.
Yeah. So Miles Straw on the last episode that didn't get released because technical difficulties, we had him on, but barely. Now we're taking him off because back-to-back series, he wasn't, he wasn't playing offensively so well. He's still a defensive fucking wizard. But in the Rangers series, he goes 2-for-14 with a run, an RBI, a home run, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. And in the Red Sox series, he goes 2-for-13 with no runs, an RBI, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, and a stolen base. And in the last 7 games, which is pretty much both these series and the last Angels game, he's batting 161 with a 188 OBP, a 290 slugging, and a 473 OPS, which is not great.
True. That's really not.
Yeah.
That's below average all over. So he's just in an offensive slump.
Yeah.
But he'll get out of it.
And honestly, his defense, he's not far off from, if he can get it up to like a 230, I'd put him back on.
Yeah.
Because his defense is just so fucking good that it.
Yeah, I mean, it just needs to be there. He's still a shooter. He's got it in him. So we'll, but keep going.
And then,
I mean, he's good.
Yeah, and then Amed Rosario in the Rangers series, he's another, it's the same thing that Miles Straw. In the last episode, we had him barely on, but this one, we're taking him off. In the Rangers series, 2-for-10 with a run, 1 RBI, 2 walks, and a strikeout. And the Red Sox series, he goes 2-for-14 with 2 runs, no RBIs, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. And this dude was just swinging at everything. It like just was not actually watching the games. So he just wasn't locked in at the plate. In the last 7 games, he's batting 250 with a 290 OBP, a 357 slugging, and a 647 OPS, which is just below average everywhere. So got to take him off the list.
It's just not 5 strikeouts to no walks, man. Damn.
Yep.
It just, none of these people are, Straw is in a slump, and Ahmed's playing below average offensively right now as well, but not as bad. Straw's truly in an offensive slump, but Ahmed, you just can't stay on the list. He went, I counted, I think 17 appearances.
In 45 days, he's only made 17 appearances?
Ooh, it might have been 19.
Yeah. So he's had 19 appearances where he had 19 scoreless appearances. Yes. It sounds like a 10 to me, man.
Yeah. Next episode, if he stays perfect, let's do that. Next episode.
So he's at like a 9.85 right now.
Let's do 9. Yeah, let's do 9.85.
All right. 9.85.
Look at that beautiful 20. That beautiful 20. Okay. You know?
And then we talked about T-Mac going on the 10-day, so we have to take him off. Literally not because of anything that he did, that he's done, just because we're probably not going to see him again this year.
Yeah, which is just pain.
And listen to this. Listen to this Angel start again, right?
Oh, yeah.
7 innings pitched. 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. In his last 4 starts, so for the month of August, 28 innings pitched, 6 earned runs, 12 hits, 2 walks, 28 strikeouts, 1.93 ERA, and a 0.5 whip, and a 0.126 batting average against. What?
I know.
The actual fuck.
I know.
Was this guy on? He's
just popping off.
And then we're going to get into the who's not list.
Well, can I recap the who's hot? So, because a lot happened. Cal Quantrill stays on. We raised him to a 9.5.
Yep.
Jose stays on. We raised him to a 9.5. We're putting Clase on at a 9.85, which is the highest we've gone for anybody this year. Miles Straw is off, Ahmed is off, and we're taking T-Mac off only because, again, he's on the 10-day IL, and we probably won't see him again this year, which just sucks.
So, yeah.
Some cleanup.
And then the who's not list, Zach Plesac is coming off of the who's not list, but we're putting him on the watch list for who's not.
We talked about this for a while in the unreleased episode that'll never exist.
Yep. And we kind of discussed this for a bit. We're giving him the benefit of the doubt because we know he can be a dog.
Yep.
And the Rangers,
and he pitches tomorrow.
Yep. And the Rangers start, he went 5 2/3 with 2 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. In his last 3 starts, 18 innings pitched, 4.5 ERA, a 1.33 whip, and 15 strikouts. And he
so that's what I mean of like, we talked about, like, should we take him off or keep him on a 3.5000, which is the highest,
yeah,
you know, the opposite, highest you can be, but still be on. And you said, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Yep. But he's a wet fart away from going back on.
Yep.
Like I was going to say a decent start would take him off, but you've decided he's on watch. So he has to have a good start to not go back on. So we're giving him the benefit of the doubt because 3 starts, 4.5 ERA, and a 1.33 whip is not it. Like, no. That's not good.
But the last 3 starts, except that clunker in Minnesota, have been decent, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, they're not terrible stats, you know? It's just that clunker.
And
but in August, sorry, I just get so
worried
about pitching. Like, in August, so the 3 starts, you know, not terrible, but drawing it back farther, 5 starts in August, a 6.33 ERA, a 1.44 whip, and a 2.82 batting average against. That is not good.
No.
That's why, like, it's the whole picture of he's just, we got to find some consistency out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Be more like Yu Chang. Sentences I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Here's the thing. Why isn't Yu Chang on the who's hot list?
It's because I thought we made a game day decision that I thought we were still going to talk about it, and then we started like, oh, we're not going to do that as the hot topic and like the surprise game, but
yeah,
I didn't get to him yet.
Okay, makes sense.
I think I just forgot.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw him on there at like an 8.
Oh, I think he's an 8.5.
8.5?
Is it time to talk about his stats? So we're putting Plesac on the watch,
yep,
right? So real fast, we're going to jump back. Yu Chang in his last 7 games is slashing .333, .360, and .833 slugging. An .833 slugging, folks. And what is that? A 1.193. So almost a 1.2 OPS.
And what?
In his last 15 games.
And he's had what, like 4 home runs?
3 home runs during that. In his last 15 games, he's slashing .286. 327. OBP is always his downfall, but a 694 slugging in 15 games, which is a 1.011. I'm like trying to go multiple dots. He's over a 1 dotter in OPS in 15 games. So not just a little 7-game hot streak. What is happening?
Yeah. He's a, 8.5. Yu Chang's on the who's hot list.
Like,
at
a 1.021
at our friend
OPS, over 15 games
at our friend Cott right now. Yu Chang's on the hot list.
What if I told you in the month of July and August he had 53 at bats and he's batting like .303? I don't understand.
Yu Chang,
his first half of the year was just so bad. It's just a dumpster fire of stats. Like, it just drags his, because he's only batting .211 on the year. But yeah, since in August, he's batting .323 with an .871 slugging. Now it's 31 at bats. In July, 25 at bats. .280, .308, .400. So that's not as good. That's a .708 OPS. But you put the work together, and he's still.
He's fucking Yu Chang. That's who he is.
I know. Put some respect on his
name. Yeah.
Let's keep the good times going.
Yeah.
We're taking Franmil off.
Franmil is off the who's not list and going straight to the who's hot list.
First time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm like 98% sure. In the Rangers series, he went 4-for-10 with 2 runs, 4 RBIs, a home run, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Love to see it. In the Red Sox series, 3-for-8 with 2 runs, 1 RBI, 1 home run, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Love to fucking see it.
Give me the 7-game line.
In the last 7 games, he's batting .333 with a 500 OBP, a .714 slugging, and a 1.214 OPS. 1.214.
That is like Barry Bonds territory. Like, needless to say, he's narrator. He's popping off.
Yeah,
he's going directly off the off and onto who's hot.
Yeah, at like an 8.75, maybe a 9.
I'm thinking 9. Yeah, that feels like a 9. So. We did a lot of cleanup. So we got Yu Chang on. I got to remember to put him, like, just, there's a lot. We took a lot off, but we had to shout out a few gangsters as well. And Yu Chang is on the Who's
Hot List. Yeah, at Cot.
Anything is possible.
At our friend Cot, forever doubting Yu Chang.
Did we say a 9 or a 9 for Fran Mill?
Yeah.
Okay, because his 15 games aren't as strong, but his 7 games, woo. All right, so let's keep this moving because we are at... This is a long one. We've been hanging 2 hours.
Fuck.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about. All right. So, AL, and who knows? This episode might never come out, and I'm going to jump off a bridge. AL Central standings will be fast. We're 64-64. We're 10 games behind the White Sox for first place. It is what it is. Detroit is in third. They're 13.5 games back. So, we got a 3.5 game spread. Just stay in second and stay above 500. That's all I ask. Kansas City is in fourth place. They're 16 games behind. And the Minnesota still last place, 18 games behind. Quick wild card update. New York has lost 2 in a row after they popped off 12 in a row, I think.
Yeah, Oakland beat them. They won 14 in a row, which tied Oakland for the longest win streak this season.
It was 14? Yep. It got that high?
Yep.
Holy crap.
And then Oakland beat them. To prevent them from winning 15 in a row.
Yeah, damn. So New York still has a 2-game lead above, like they're in the first wild card spot. And then there's Boston. And then so people trailing Oakland 2.5 games behind Boston, Seattle 4.5 games back, Toronto 5.5, and we're 9 games back at 500. Yep. So again, we kind of know what to think. One thing of news, you want to hit it?
Yeah.
Little update.
Aaron Civale had a rehab start in Lake County today. So in high A ball.
Or Saturday.
Saturday, yes, it's Saturday. So high A ball. So maybe we see him this year. Or maybe he just...
I think he'll be back.
Maybe he just gets to AAA and kind of just does some rehab starts down in AAA and kind of just chills down there for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he works towards it.
But... honestly, wouldn't be mad if we don't see him again this year. Same thing with everyone else. And then we talked about Wilson Ramos with the ACL tear and the MCL sprain.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about Somali, his line? 4 1/3, 1 hit, no run, no walk, 4 strikeouts, 59 pitches, 44 strikes. Those poor little high A people are like,
high A people are like 18-year-old kids that just got drafted out of high school.
Yeah, true. He's like, I didn't even want this. And Savali's like, yeah, it was just my finger, dog. I'm 100% good.
Yeah.
just playing with this dinner. So to finish it off, upcoming series preview, we got 3 games against the Royals. Tonight is an off night for us, so nice little rest. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, little 3-game set. It's going to be at Kauffman Stadium. And right now, even though, I mean, and it kind of makes sense with the off day, there's no pitching lineups to really give. Plesac is going tomorrow. He's 8-4 with a 4.78 ERA. That's an 8-10 start. But TBD from the Royals, and then Wednesday and Thursday are both 8-10 starts as well, and no pitchers announced because it's an off day. They don't really have to, and both teams are figuring it out. So not much to talk about there. Quick preview, just real fast. We've talked about the Royals before, so again, we're not going to get deep. They're 62-69. Nice.
Nice.
4-6 in their last 10. And we're 64-64, 6-4 in our last 10. Yeah, I mean, the big story is just Salvador Perez has hit 38 home runs. He is now chasing Otani, and I believe he's in sole possession of second most home runs in MLB.
He passed Vladdy.
Yeah, I mean, his previous high was like 27. I mean, 38, guys, like, that's serious,
and
like,
this,
home run.
This numbers. Dude flirted with retiring. Like,
yep.
And
yep. Well, to be fair, he had Tommy John. Yeah. And all, but, like, he is just such a monster. So, they're not a good team. We're not particularly great. But for whatever reason this year, we are major, like how we used to be with the Tigers, that's how we are with the Royals this year. Their bullpen is buns. So, I'm going to be honest. You got to sweep these. Like, I think you sweep.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we've been playing grittier. If our bullpen can hold it down and just where our offense is at, we're a totally different team, yet I still feel just as confident, you know, going in here. Like, just eat them up, score some runs, because their bullpen is so bad. You get Plesac, and then it should be
Hinches and Allen.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll see, but they suck. I mean, they're still a major league club, but we've just owned them. They're like how we were with the Tigers, where we just couldn't lose. Yeah. So go sweep them. Yeah, and that's all I got. So we'll probably be back on Friday, because it's a night game on Thursday. So we'll probably be back on Friday.
I do have something that I do want to talk about real fast.
Okay. What's up?
All right. Earlier or late last week, my boy Yadier Molina announced that next year is his last year. He's retiring.
Yep, but he is coming back, which is big hype. I think I sent you a tweet about it, now that I think about it, or I texted it to you.
Yeah, something. And I've been following it very closely. I want to point out something, right? And this is something I'm very passionate about. Obviously, big Yadier Molina fan. We've talked about multiple times on this podcast.
True.
So, both when Derek Jeter and when Chipper Jones retired, and... So he didn't really do it with Derek Jeter, because Derek Jeter didn't really get that much of an ovation. But Adam Jones played against the Cardinals in his last at bat ever. Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah. One of the greatest hitters.
Yep. Yadier Molina walked off of home plate and like down the first baseline so Adam Jones could appreciate this moment. Right? Just a class act move from Yadier Molina. If this man doesn't get the same fucking treatment from every goddamn catcher in the MLB, I'm going to be very upset. Because not only has this dude been one of the best catchers in baseball for the past 20 years, this dude has mentored a lot of these guys and is a ambassador for international players coming from Puerto Rico.
Yep.
This dude has meant so much to baseball over the last 20 years and doesn't get enough credit for it. If this dude does not get the same respect, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, the welcome. Yeah, like the, or not welcome tour, the farewell tour kind of thing. Yeah, that's fair.
This is,
I think the league will. So, I think he's just too respected.
This is like people's Kobe Bryant retiring for me.
Yep.
So if he doesn't get that respect, I'll be very upset. It's been very fun to watch him play.
He's deserved.
And it's been, he's very inspirational to how I played. And he's growing up was one of my biggest role models. So I just wanted to talk about that for a second, because it's something I'm very passionate about. And about someone that I care about a lot.
Yeah, I love that for you, dude. And I agree 100%. You know, he deserves the farewell tour, and should. He's more than just like a really good player. You know, he's just a presence around the league.
And not around the league, and especially in St. Louis. Ask any Cardinals fan.
Well, they're like the best baseball team in America. Like, they would die. They love their teams. They're just such a classy.
Yep.
Great stadium.
Very great stadium. The picture's up there. You guys can't see it, but me and Alex took a tour. I'll grab it real fast. This is for the
YouTube only.
Yeah.
We took a tour of Busch Stadium.
Look at those studs.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful.
Look at that.
Beautiful
stadium. Ballpark.
Yeah. I love it. I have mine up, too.
There's the ballpark.
In our living room. Yeah. It's at 216 Baseball Pod. All right, that's where we're wrapping it up with your big badonk in the background. Thanks so much for listening. True, to People's Pod. thanks so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, follow, consider leaving us a review. Thanks for rocking with us, seriously. I know the timeline. We've been doing everything we can, and we think we've got it figured out. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and TikTok and YouTube at 216 Baseball Pod. And we're going to be back on Friday to give you an update on the Royals series. So go try.
Yeah, guards up, baby. Let's go.
Woohoo!